Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I am your host, Heather McFadden, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. In this episode, number 584, it is week 5 of our mentor series. Normally, we do a summer of mentorship and we republish previous episodes. This summer, I'm not just sharing previous episodes, I'm also sharing some of my own thoughts, wisdom that I've been lucky enough to get from mentors and just experience, whether it's Titanic-like, telling you to avoid the iceberg ahead, or just things that I've picked up along the way. I want to make sure I share with you. So a couple weeks ago, we did a mentor episode on when you feel like you're failing and that inner critic and how to show yourself compassion and what's really true about your position in Christ. Today, I want to focus on when you feel like you're running on empty or you have nothing left to give. And I don't know, have you ever had those moments where something really small makes you realize you're done? Maybe you're in the stage where your toddler is asking for one more snack after you've cleaned the kitchen, or someone touching you after you've been touched all day, or it's one more sibling fight, or it's the text from your teen, what's for dinner, that basically your entire text chat is what's for dinner. You know your reaction is bigger than the situation because the problem isn't what's for dinner or the snack or being touched. The problem is you've got nothing left. And if that's where you are today, I want you to know two things. There's nothing wrong with you. And two, God is not surprised by this. And he is not asking for you to be more than a human. In chapter 3 of my Don't Mom Alone book, I talk about when you get to the end of yourself. And I share a story from one summer when I was very, very pregnant with my third. I had a toddler and a preschooler, and we decided to go to a local attraction called the Flight Museum. And at the Flight Museum, they had this play area where kids could go in and out of a plane. And then they had this pretend flight tower that's like overlapping platforms. Picture a McDonald's play area. And I finally decided to sit down, you know, take a load off, let the kids play. And I hear my preschooler, who was in the midst of potty training, say that he needed to go pee. And I realized that maybe he said he was peeing as I saw liquid flowing down those platforms. And unfortunately, he was not interested in climbing down when I tried to ask him to come down. And so I'm keeping an eye on my toddler who's crawling around, and I'm squeezing my belly through these soaked platforms to get my preschooler and to carry him, who is now screaming, and my toddler, who is upset about not being able to play, into, fortunately, a family bathroom. Now, I'm going to read some of what I wrote because I took the time to figure this out. I said, preoccupied with the task at hand, which was cleaning, taking off wet clothes and using paper towels to clean sticky legs, I didn't notice my toddler had wandered over to the toilet. The moment I happened to glance back and check on him was the exact moment his pacifier on a string dangled right into the not-so-shiny porcelain bowl. Jumping up, I grabbed him right before he started to play in the toilet water. In another quick move, I snatched the pacifier clip off his shirt, tossed it in the sink. Water cranked to the highest possible level. I attempted to clean off what I imagined was every microscopic organism ever discovered. Once that fire was out, I squatted back down to appease my crying three-year-old. Since he had been quote-unquote potty trained, I no longer carried extra change for over a year. I no longer carried an extra change of clothes or underwear. So my only option was to place him in his brother's size 4 diaper. Unfortunately, while I was bent over with this huge belly and legs cramping, my toddler's new amusement was his mom. He began to undo the braid in my hair. The act of messing up my hair was not a big deal in itself, but in that moment, given my frazzled state, I lost it. The out-of-place hair was another reminder of my out-of-control life. I couldn't even keep my hair in a braid without someone pulling it out. It was a metaphor of motherhood in my mind. Children peeing in public places, giant pregnant bellies squeezing through tight spaces, pacifiers dangling in toilets, personal appearance disheveled. Each event multiplied the feeling that my life no longer belonged to me. My inner monologue taunted me with, "If I'm this tired now, how in the world can I manage more?" Narrator, at this point, Heather had no idea a fourth boy was in her future. Little did I know how many more embarrassing and helpless scenarios it would take to change that question from how can I manage more to what can I give to God to manage? I think in that moment, it was recognizing it's not about me needing to be stronger or more capable of handling all these kids. And to recognize now looking back that that was overwhelming because that's just a lot of people in a really challenging situation. And to give myself a little bit of grace, if that's you, mom, it is not for your lacking that that is hard. That is just hard. The key is if we secretly believe that really good moms don't get overwhelmed, that if I lose my patience, if I'm exhausted, if I have nothing left to give, that I've somehow missed the mark. Nowhere does God ever expect us to be limitless people. He is the one who is limitless. We are the dependent ones. And it's all through, if you do a 12-step study, a recovery study, it's all about recognizing your limitedness and surrendering to an all-powerful, all-good, all-available God. And recognizing, oh, I have reached my limited human self. And I need to be reminded of who has the ability in this situation. And I need to replace myself in his care. I need to recognize what's my part here and what is God's part here. And part of that for me, when I was in the young years and even, you know, I've kind of let go of the habit, to be honest, to be truly honest, but to get me through those young years, I'm going to share with you a conversation I had with a gal who was instrumental to me starting this podcast, instrumental to me having a time with God. So this is a conversation I recorded back in 2014 with my friend Kat Lee. She shares about her own mom and how that impacted her mothering story and a ministry she started that, like I mentioned, really impacted me. What's crazy is when we recorded this, she had a 12-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 7-year-old, and that 12-year-old is now a police officer in College Station, which may come in handy for my kid headed there this fall. Anywho, let's get right to it. Here we go. When I met Kat, she was speaking at our MOPS group, and a friend had already said, you know, I was having a really hard time in my motherhood. And she said, you should check out this gal, Kat Lee, and her Inspired to Action. She even has like a little ebook. It kind of helps you with your mornings and your routine and mommy. She has great mommy tips. And I heard Kat's story at our MOPS group. And I think I cried like 6 times, not to like set expectations, but I think I cried 6 or 7 times. And I was like, Kat, stop making me cry. But Kat, your story of mothering and the importance and the value you place on it comes from your own history with your mom. And so since there are listeners of mine who may not be familiar with your story, would you share a little bit of that with us?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's really God's story. And I love it. I almost feel like he's just up in heaven, just weaving this story together. And he just had so much fun with it. And I love that. there's sad parts, but yeah. Just the way, you know,
you've seen the redemption of those sad parts. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So I basically, I never knew my mom. She passed away when I was only 9 months old. She was from the Philippines and she was a nurse, and she came over to the United States to work in at a hospital in Chicago. And through some different people, she met my dad, who was, you know, this all-American blonde hair, blue-eyed guy, and they fell in love and they got married. And then they had my brother, who is about 4 years older than I am, and she had a disease called lupus, which I think is a lot more treatable now than it was then. But when I was 9 months old, she passed away. And it wasn't until a couple years ago that I ever even saw a picture of her and I in the same picture, just because she was so ill the whole time. And you know, I grew up not knowing my mom, first of all, and not having a mom to show me all those mom things that, you know, a girl wants. And she didn't brush my hair. I always wore the dorkiest clothes because, you know, it was my dad and my brother. And we spent some time with my grandparents, but, you know, fashion and grandparents aren't exactly synonymous. Yeah. So, you know, I just always wondered what is this mother-daughter relationship like? Because you'd see movies about it and I'd hear friends talking about their moms, and I was just like, I just want that. I just want to know what that thing is. And it was just this realization that it was just this thing that I was just never going to know. Yeah. And I just, it was not something for me. And so growing up, I would always just look up to different people and try to emulate my life after different people, just trying to figure out what it meant to be a girl or to be a woman, and who was I going to be. And I specifically remember at one point I was 26 years old, and Jimmy and I were already married and living in Houston. And we had gone to this Sunday school luncheon. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting there and I saw my Sunday school teacher. She was probably in her 40s and she had a 10-year-old daughter. And her daughter was sitting on her lap and they were playing one of those, you know, those hand clapping games. And I am completely unrhythmic. I mean, it's sad. I hurt people when I try to do those hand clapping things. I slap them in the face. I just don't get it. So I was kind of fascinated, you know, watching them just go at lightning speed with this hand clapping thing. And then it was one of those things that just, it just kind of suddenly hit me. And I was sitting there watching them and I was just like, you know, at 26 years old, more than anything, I wanted to be that little girl. I wanted to sit on a mom's lap and play a hand clapping game and know that there was this woman who loved me completely, who was willing to show me and teach me everything that I needed to know, and just to feel that unconditional covering and leadership just in my life. And I just, I was crying in some barbecue spot.
Okay. And if y'all are crying now in the middle of the grocery store,
I'm sorry. So it was just this thing. I was just like, I just want that. And I wish I had that. And I always felt like God in that moment whispered, just wait. Just wait for what I have for you. Because the beauty of it is that a couple of years later and now, you know, I have not just one girl, but I have two girls. And we play hand clapping games and do all the mom things. And I love being their mom. And I love Mother's Day, which is also something that I always hated growing up, because we would go to church and they would, you know, have us sing these songs. And I just had to stand in the audience, you know, stand on stage. And, you know, I would just stare at the ceiling, or I'd just mouth the words because I had nobody to sing it to. I'd make crafts and I would just throw it in the trash. And it just felt like this very bitter holiday for me. And I just love how God just redeemed that. And now it is my favorite day of the year. Sometimes as moms, we can feel like, you know, we're not really doing anything particularly exceptional. Mm-hmm. We're just doing really, really normal things.
Yeah.
But I didn't even know my mom, and she's had this incredible impact on who I am and who I've become. And so how much more are you guys listening, having an impact on the lives of your kids every single day when you get to hug them and you get to speak truth and life into them? And it's just such a powerful thing.
This episode is brought to you thanks to sponsors like Hiya Health. Moms, you are pouring into your kids, and what you do matters so much. And I know you guys care not just about who your kids are becoming, but their bodies and how they function. And as we head into the school year, maybe you are on the lookout for a great vitamin for your kids. You are trying, I mean, these days, it is hard to know what we can and cannot eat. And if you can know that your kids are getting 12 organic fruits and vegetables and 15 essential vitamins and minerals in a vitamin, I think that'll put your mind, I know my mind, at ease. We're talking vitamin D, B12, C, zinc, folate, all these foundational nutrients that support their immune system, their brain function, their mood regulation, concentration, and the development of strong teeth and bones. They're growing kids, and we want to make sure they have all that they need to make that happen. I love Hiya because it wasn't just this idea. These creators worked alongside pediatricians and nutrition scientists to create this powerful, chewable vitamin. While a lot of vitamins have 7 grams of sugar and all these additives and dyes, Hiya took the opposite approach. Zero sugar, zero gummy additives, clean nutrition, non-GMO, vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, nut-free. They've thought of everything. I think it's really cool that they're for kids 2 and up and that they ship it straight to your door. You get this reusable, awesome glass bottle with your first order, and then they just send refills every month. One less thing to think about. But what's really cool is you can now find Hiya in person at Target stores nationwide. Or you can order directly from the website with a special deal we worked out just for you. Receive 50% off your first order on any of their products. To claim this deal, you have to go to hiyahealth.com/DMA. This deal is not for everybody on their regular website. You have to go to Hiyahealth, HIYAHEALTH.com/DMA to get your kids the full body support they deserve.
Could you kind of tell us about like what life was like for you with young kids and your struggles?
Back when I wasn't perfect.
When you weren't perfect. Now that you are. But like just enlighten those of us, make us feel like.
Clearly you weren't in my house this morning when I was trying to get everybody out the door on time to school.
Well, I wasn't, but I just still, even if you say that, I'm like, I still can't imagine it.
Well, I'll have to shoot some video next time.
Yeah, that'd be
of me
really
being
helpful.
Grumpy, or really have my kids tell stories of my grumpiness.
Because don't you do that? Like, if I'm in a grumpy moment, I don't think of Kat Lee being grumpy.
Yeah, I
don't
picture
you being perfect, and I'm like, oh, this is how she would have handled it, and I'm even worse off because why can't I just be like this person at their best moment? You know what I mean? Yeah, like, we don't compare each other to each other's worst moments. It's like my worst and your very best.
So. Right. I don't picture Ann Voskamp being grumpy with her kids.
No.
So, yeah, I totally get that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So what was life like in the eons ago?
Yeah. I had one of my most notable, terrible, horrible, very bad. What is that? Now I can't even remember it.
Yeah.
That Alexander and the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. Is it really?
Yeah, they're making a movie. The whole family has a bad day. That's the movie.
You have to expand it if it's going to be a whole movie. I was just one of those days, probably tons of issues leading into it, but it was just one of those days that by the end of it, I was just like, let's just get the kids to bed.
Yeah.
Just get them in bed and close the door and then maybe I'll be okay.
Yeah.
And so I did. I finally got them to bed and I just needed to be by myself. Mm. So there aren't many places that a mom can do that. Yeah. So I went out to my garage and I sat in my minivan in July in Texas. And so as sweat just poured down my face, so were the tears. And I was just crying. I was just like, God, why do I stink at this so much? Why can I not be patient? Why am I so incredibly just completely frustrated with my children and with every little thing that they do today? Why is this so, so hard for me? And, you know, how can I get it right? How can I just turn a corner? And I just felt like he was like, you just need to start getting up earlier. And I was just like, so let's go back over this. I have really little kids and they already wake up at the crack of nothing, jumping on me and wanting Cheerios or Sesame Street or whatever. I get up pretty early. I think we've got that part covered. But he was like, no, you need to get up for your kids and not to your kids. You need to get up before them and prepare your heart and understand my heart for them before they even get up. And it was just this very clear thought. And I was like, that's true. That's true. And that's a good idea. That's why you're who you are and I'm who I am.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I did. I started just getting up earlier and it changed things. It's not an overnight thing. It's not this magic pill. Nothing is a magic pill of transforming everything immediately. But the process of it is saying, you know what, God, I am in this. You gave me these kids and I'm going to do whatever it takes to fulfill whatever you had in mind when you gave them to me. And if it's getting up early, then I'm going to trust that you have the grace to get me through the day or help me go to bed early so that I'm not tired or whatever it is. And so I would just start getting up and just, you know, super simple, nothing deep or profound. I didn't have an interlinear Bible and a lexicon sitting around me interpreting Greek.
Yeah.
I would read like a couple verses and then I'd pray a short prayer for my kids. But it just took the time to be like, God, what's on your heart for them? How can I encourage them? How can I have your perspective for the day? What do you want me to focus on today? And it allowed me, instead of my kids jumping on me in bed and me saying, go do something, go get Cheerios or whatever. And then they mess up the kitchen with Cheerios and then I'm mad. Instead, they come in and I'm just like, hey, Jackson, I'm so excited to see you. You know, I was praying for you this morning, and I just really believe that you're going to be a boy who fights for justice, that you're going to help people who are hurting and who are broken, and you're going to be the hands and feet of Jesus to people who need it. You're going to be a superhero for Jesus. And, you know, what kid wouldn't want to wake up like that?
Right.
And hear just truth spoken over them. I don't do that every day, but just that's my heart towards them more often now, just because I'm connecting with God and saying, what do you have for them? Instead of it just being, you know, Cat the mom, it's Cat the conduit of God's grace to them, yeah. Or at least that's the goal. So
I love it.
That obviously that just changed so much for me.
Well, and it, I mean, y'all heard in the introduction, but Cat, like, I mean, through her example, changed my mothering. The reason I even have God-centered mom, the reason I can even survive four kids is that example. And it's not because I'm the good Christian and I get up early, because that's what God wants, and only the good Christians. God only listens between 6 and 8 a.m. That's not why. That's not why I'm doing it. It is a sanity saver. I was at Trader Joe's this week with just my two-year-old, my youngest one. And it's funny to be out just with the one, because people are like, oh, he's so cute. And they start giving me advice. And oh, just, you know, and I'm like, well, actually, he's my fourth boy. And they're like, what? You know, and this one guy was like, I don't know how you do it. How do you do it? Oh, you must be a saint. And I'm like, no. Mm-mm. And then it gives me a chance to kind of share my faith, because I'm like, it is only through God's strength. And I just make sure that I'm staying connected to God and that I have time with him before they even get out of bed. Mm-hmm. And if, because I literally cannot mother four boys on my own. Maybe I could have handled two. Like, I really think if I just had two, you know, I think I would have thought I was a pretty awesome person because of all the pride I had before kids and how much I wanted to be a mom and how much I'd read and even got a master's in it. I really think I was pretty proud of how awesome I was. But by the time I got to four, oh my heavens. I mean, I really can't. I can't do it in my own strength. And so that time is essential. And it, and I, you know, was a, okay, I'm just going to do 5 minutes, because I loved sleep so much. And I only did 5 minutes. And then I tried to do it from bed for a while. And that just didn't go well. Oh, I'll just turn on my light, my Bible reader right next to my bed. That didn't, that, I always fell back asleep. And then I started, Kat decided with, who was the gal that thought of the challenge?
Michelle.
What was her last name?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It has been a long time. We were talking. It was 2000 something.
2000.
Do you think it was 2011?
It might have even been 2010, because I launched Inspired to Action with the Maximize Your Mornings ebook.
Yeah.
And so I actually think it might have been 2010, the fall.
Okay. So this gal, Michelle, came up with the idea of having a challenge where, like, we keep each other accountable, mm-hmm. and we sign up, and we would have like a leader who would kind of check in on us, and we'd all maybe tweet, hey, I'm up. And then with the hashtag Hello Mornings. And I was blessed enough to have Kat be my accountability captain person. And she was really good at it. Can you imagine? I even remember I got the flu really badly and I missed like three or four times. And you were sweet enough to send me a direct message and just check in on me. Like, how you doing? Just checking in. Notice you haven't been, you know, on Twitter the last couple of days. Anyway, I was just, and it got me back into it. And I think I would have totally dropped the habit if you hadn't checked in. So I am not only a big fan of waking up early, I'm a big fan of the accountability of Hello Mornings. If you're a mom listening and you are just weary, or you are feeling like your current mode of operation is not working, you don't know where to turn, you feel poured out and no one's pouring into you, I would just recommend first going to Inspire to Action, downloading the free Maximize Your Mornings ebook, glance at it, sign up for one of these accountability groups. What do you got to lose? I mean, go to bed 5 minutes earlier, wake up 5 minutes earlier, and then spend time with God. And I think we just underestimate his power and his strength in us. And we just figure we can just do it on our own. There's a spiritual world that we just really I know I do. Because we don't see it, we underestimate the power of it. So, but God made you specifically. He gave you strengths and a personality that matches with the kids that he gave you, and he's equipped you with his Holy Spirit. So,
He's the game changer.
Yeah.
You know, we my son plays soccer, and we played against this team where there's this boy that everybody knows. He is just amazing. And he comes in the game and completely changes the game. Mm. And when he goes out, the game completely changes again. Mm. And that's what God can do in our lives. Yeah. You know, he can just come in and at any given moment score a couple goals for us. Yeah. But then if he's not in there, we can just feel so defeated and so unfocused and not have the direction and the vision that we need. And just, he just wants to spend that time with us. And I love what Louis Giglio says. He says, God wants us to wrap our arms around his neck and not just stick our hands in his pockets. Ooh. And I love that. He created you. He picked you to mother these kids, and he wants to walk with you through that. And it doesn't need to be a million hours. Just, you know, it can be 5 minutes. Just spend that time with him to get his heart and his vision for you and for your kids. And it can be a complete game changer for you.
This show is made possible thanks to sponsors like Thrive Cosmetics. If you are looking to either simplify your look this summer or heading into fall, you want to update some things and some colors, can I recommend Thrive Cosmetics? Because like I've told you before, they are the unicorn of cosmetics. One, they're clean. If you've been on the lookout for a clean product, this is the one you want. They're 100% vegan and cruelty-free. They have skin-loving ingredients, and the products work. They stay on. I love them. And lastly, they give back. For every purchase you make, they are giving back products and cash donations to over 600 giving partners. So your purchase makes real impact. Now, let me tell you, I love their Empower Precision Lipstick Crayon, but it's the Brilliant Eye Brightener that I want to highlight today. Because it is a waterproof eyeshadow highlighter stick. So you use it to brighten and open your eyes and kind of give you this radiant eye look for any fall occasion. You can apply it to the inner corner of your eyes to look rested and effortless. You can blend any of their 32 different shades depending on your color profile. You know how I'm really big into knowing your colors. Amplify your fall look with Thrive Cosmetics. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/DMA. for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/DMA. Kat's story is so powerful. I share it in my book as an example of us being important in our kids' lives, but not essential. I think her mom's role was so important, and it really helped her value the role of motherhood. But her presence and her showing up every single day was not essential to Kat becoming the woman and the mom she is today. And so maybe we can give ourselves a little bit of a break that you are important in your kid's life, but it is God who is essential in helping them become who they're going to become. The other thing I want to mention from that conversation is I know we were talking about hello mornings and waking up before your kids, not to your kids. And I know that can be overwhelming, and some people just totally shut down the advice altogether. I was even talking with my mom. She is in her 80s. She is faithful to read her Bible and to pray, and she is doing PT for her heart, and it is in the first thing in the morning. So it's messing with her routine of when she has time with God, and she has had to readjust her expectations for when that happens. So the reason the getting up early worked when my kids were little is that was truly the only time where I wasn't reacting to everything all day. If I did not do it first thing, it wasn't going to happen. That may not be true for the ages and stages of your kids right now. Maybe it's once they go off to school. I know for me, I got out of the habit because they would go off to school and then I would go to my computer to check emails and start working. So it has to be this thing where you're deciding this is the time I'm setting aside, not to, again, check a box of good Christian or to think that it's some magic formula that if I spend this time, I'm going to fill up my gas tank or fill up this pitcher of water And then I'll have enough to pour out on my kids. Like if I had spent these 5 minutes, I'm going to have enough patience all day. That is not possible. There is not a pitcher or a gas tank big enough for all that motherhood requires of you in a day. By 9:30, someone has spilled cereal. Someone can't find their shoes. Another is crying because their banana broke. Instead, picture this. That time in the morning is you being reminded who God is and Him inviting you into this never-ending living river of everlasting love, patience, kindness, goodness. My friend Katie Sherrod gave me that image because she was a mom of several biological and many adopted children. And she's like, God does not give us this bucket of love each morning. He invites us to stand in a river of love. I don't have enough in myself. I don't even have the capabilities to have enough self-care so that I could have enough. But God is unlimited. And that visual is so important and so powerful on why we spend those, no matter when those few moments are, to stand in that river with God. So I want to give you three things. One, stop trying to be superhuman and become enough. You never will. And that is really good news. Number two, ask yourself, what do I actually need? Not what should I be doing? Because sometimes you do need to sleep. Maybe you are feeling overwhelmed and you are running on empty because you haven't kind of paid attention to what you're needing right now. Out of this, I need to be a good mom. I need to be superhuman. Maybe you need time with a friend. Maybe you do need time with Jesus. Maybe you need just to walk around the block. Maybe you need help and you haven't asked for it in a while. Number three, return to the source throughout the day. It doesn't just have to be in the morning. Stop just thinking about this, like I said, checking a box with God. Instead, remember where the river is. Go back to it throughout the day. I want you to be encouraged. I don't know what has emptied you lately. Maybe it is babies and just the constant needs of little babies. Maybe it's teenagers and the emotional weariness of not knowing where they are, what they're doing. Maybe it's taking care of parents while you're taking care of your children. Maybe it's a recent loss and grief. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe you're just physically tired. But here's what I want you to remember. Running on empty isn't the emergency. Trying to keep pouring after your empty is. So, I want to leave you with one question. Instead of asking, how do I keep going? How do I keep doing this? Ask, where am I maybe trying to be superhuman and I'm taking God's place? Where am I trying to have endless patience or endless wisdom or endless energy, endless love? Those things were never yours to manufacture. They're all His. And He has invited you to come back to Him again and again. So this week, how about we all don't try harder? How about we return to that river sooner? And when you feel empty, don't shame yourself for being human. Go back to the river. Because the best moms aren't the ones who never run out. They're the ones who know where living water is found. The next time you feel yourself reaching the end of your patience, don't promise yourself you'll do better. Just take a breath, stop, and pray. Jesus, I don't know what this moment requires, but You do. Help me receive from You what I can't produce on my own. And then go back. I think y'all are amazing. And I will say a prayer for all of us right now. Lord, I thank You for weaving Kat's story together and how she's had such an integral role in my story, my journey to even doing what I'm doing today. All these years later, I pray that for the mom who is running on empty, has nothing left to give, that You would show up for her right now, that she would see where she ends and where You begin, that she would hand back to You the things that she is trying to be superhuman in, that she would ask You what is her part and what is Your part, and to surrender Your part back to You. I thank you, Lord, for all that you have given us to manage and for the important role of motherhood. But I thank you, Lord, more than anything, that we are not essential to our kids becoming and who you have made them to be and the journey you have them on, that we can rest in knowing that you are the ultimate keeper of their souls, that you are the one who has decided and laid out every day in their life, and nothing is going to change that, that we aren't powerful enough to disrupt your plan. Keep us humble in that state. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, thanks, y'all, for joining me. Originally, this was going to be a four-part series, but then I realized I kind of like doing it. So we have one more week left. We're going to talk about, you know, kids who may be a little different than the norm, and how do you work through that. So join me back here next week. Have a good one. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.